about that, especially the Old Testament. It's kind of hard to know where to start. Psalms is full of it, about the wings of God, our protection under His wings. One of the pastors we correspond with back and forth with our bulletins. I get his and he gets mine. And he run across a picture. I don't know where you've been able to go by the bulletin board back there this morning, but I put it on the bulletin board of an old mother hen. And she's got all of her little brood up under her body, up under her wings, and little heads are sticking out everywhere. And if you were never raised in the country, I'm a country boy. I've got to proudly say that, raised up in the country. We always had animals, you know, and chickens on the yard. We called it chickens on the yard. They just out pecking around, making good eggs for us to eat. And these chickens we had were these old game chickens, they're very strong protectors of the young. I learned a lot when I was a kid by watching those old hens. As they'd find a place where they could steal a nest, they'd hide their eggs, and then after a while they'd hatch off. Sometimes those little old game hens, they'd see how in the world they could cover that many chickens, they'd hatch off 12, 14 little bitties. And care for those little chicks, old chicks would follow them around, and they'd cluck to them when the old hen would, when she'd find something for them to eat, you know. She'd cluck, 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 they'd come running, and where she'd found some seed or whatever, and they'd start pecking around and eating. And sometimes there'd be trouble come near, and you know, I know chicken hawks back then, those days, and those chicken hawks would try to get those little chickens, and especially they got a little size on them. As long as that old hen could protect them, she'd protect them. I saw it time and time again. She'd make a squalling noise and a screeching noise. And when trouble came near, she said, sometimes you see the shadow of that hawk go over, and she'd make that noise of distress. They had different noises. They made no little chicken knew what she's talking about. And they'd come from wherever they were, they'd come fleeing to her, you know. And as they came toward her, she'd spread out those wings. I'd watch her. She'd spread out those wings. Those little chickens run right up under her. And she'd cover them up. And she'd keep them covered until the danger passed over. See, and the Lord used those things. Aren't you glad He used those things? He created this lower world, the animal world. He created those creatures for specific reasons, and He used them, gave them to David and men like David who wrote the scriptures. He gave those illustrations to them from things that they just were able to behold as they went about their work. Sheep, chickens, what have you. And the eagles. Now, look over here in Psalm 17. We'll start there. Psalm 17. And we'll look at verse 8 there. That'd be a good place to start. Psalm 17 and verse number 8. It, keep me as the apple of the eye. And then he follows that up, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Two metaphors he uses here, blessed metaphors. We could call them similitudes. Sometimes they're referred to as similitudes. They're little illustrations, what they are. That God's given us in His Word here that we, you know, that you can become familiar with. You know what an apple is. You know what the apple of the eye is. You know what wings are. Bird, a chicken, an eagle, how they're used. Well, that's what he gave them to us for. He says, keep me. David says, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Blessed metaphors. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. And then David brought this almost verbatim, word for word, over into Psalm 91. And he says in Psalm 91, verse number 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. See how it all just makes for tremendous illustrations to encourage the people of God. We know what these things are. We know how important they are in the lower world, the animal world. Uses the eye here. We're going to talk about that a little bit. This morning I'm going to talk about apples and feathers. Is that all right? Apples and feathers. The eye, you know, is weak, and the eye is tender. And when hurt, it puts pain to the eye. You ever had that problem? I just went through that problem. Kim had trouble with this stuff. She scratched her eye, and she's over our way helping Nick and them with their new home. And she came over, and boy, she was in, I mean, terrible pain. Woke up, what, about 3 o'clock in the morning? That next morning, you couldn't sleep, could you, Kim? And went up to the local little clinic there we have, and the doctor gave her some drops and helped her and relieved her a little bit. Well, about the same day you went to the clinic, I was out there. I told you about this, I think. I was out there grinding some bush hog blades. Took them off my track, off my bush hog, had them in my vise, and had a grinder, and I had a grinder. I had safety glasses on, but a spark flew up under those glasses and hit this right eye right in the middle. Well, I thought maybe it was trash, because sometimes, you know, these old allergies will bother you a little bit. And I flew that thing and dropped some eye drops that we had laying around the house there. And then, so trying to get a little relief, and I went from Thursday that week until Thursday the next week before that doctor came. He only comes down to Woodland twice a week, Monday and Thursday. And so I had to suffer that thing out. And I'm telling you what, the truth, that was miserable. I didn't know. I couldn't get any relief from it. But finally went down there, and he found a little piece of metal, probably. It had flew off that grinder and went right straight into the middle of the eye. He saw it with the magnifying instrument, had a little tweezer or something. He said, "Now I'm gonna get it." He said, "I'm gonna deaden your eye." He did that first. He said, "I'm gonna numb your eye a little bit," and he said, "We'll find it." And finally he said, "I see it." He said, "Now hold real still." And he reached in there a little bit, he said, "I got it." He said, "I don't know what that is, but that's what your problem was." And it's just now getting to feeling better. But those eyes are delicate members of the body. You know it? My. And how we depend on those eyes. I tell you what, I know years and years ago, before I even started preaching, I was already a believer, studying, and I kind of felt like God maybe called me to preach something, but I was down at an old grandmother's house, and Patsy and I were down there, and she had always had something she wanted to give us that she'd grown, shrubs or what have you. And she had a shrub that she wanted us to take, and I dug around it a little bit, and got some of the roots cut loose, and finally I reached in there to pull that thing out. Well, she had pruned it off the year before, you know. It was sort of jagged, some of the growth was, it had been pruned some time before. When I pulled that thing out of the ground, it broke loose, running, and came up real quick and hit me again, right in this right eye. And man alive, I thought, well, I knocked my eye out. And I suffered that thing through the evening and night and went on to old Dr. Robinson. And he worked on that thing. He said, you could have put this out. He said he put a patch over it, put some medicine in there. And I thought, my soul, I can't read my Bible. What in the world am I going to do? Can't read the Word of God. Just I was really upset and praying about it. Lord God, don't let me lose my eye. My eye's important, very important. So David says, keep me. Keep me as the apple of your eye. So important, so vital that I be kept. Just like we do everything to keep our eye from being injured in any way whatsoever. Destroyed. So the eye is a very weak and tender member of our body. Hurts terribly so when pain is contracted by some foreign object. And it's made uneasy when the smallest thing that annoys it comes around. The gnats have been bad here lately. Have you noticed that? You get out in the yard, and I go to swatting gnats. Those things are... I don't know why it is, but they go for your eyes. They will. They'll come for your eyes. And you have to swat those things away. I don't want a gnat to get in my eye. It's miserable when one does find his way in there. You got to get that thing out, or you're miserable again. Get us out. I had an old horse running years ago. An old, big old tall sorrel mare. And she's had old gun of tomcat in the pasture in an old barn over, and had nails all over the place. It had been never been pulled out. Pulling the ends of them sticking out. And she went right over the trough where I fed her there. And she happened to catch her eyelash right here in this corner. And I went over to feed her, and that eyelash had been split from her eye all the way across and was just barely hanging on. Just barely hanging on there. And I said, man, she can't lose that thing if we can help it. I got a hold of Dr. Harvey, lady veterinarian here in Carrollton, Douglas County, that helped us with those animals. And she came over and looked at it on Monday. She couldn't get there till Monday, and that horse went all through the weekend with that eyelash. Just about that lid, not the but the lid itself was just about gone. And she got there and she said, well, we got to do something if we can. So they say, a lot of it's gone dead because it's been hanging there. She said, but let's give the horse, sedate the horse, and we'll try to cut that eyelash, the dead part out, and try to fuse it back and sew it back. Maybe she'll be all right. She said, Mr. Wilson, that horse got to have an eyelid. Said, that thing, if she doesn't have an eyelid, said, eventually gnats and flies will blind her. Said, that's her protection. It's the only protection she's got against these little insects. So that's how important those things are. God's showing us here something by using the eye. How important it is. Nothing is more dear to a man, I don't believe, or he's more careful of than preserving that eye from being hurt. We watch it, don't we? You know, as a metaphor, I think the eye in our text here speaks more to God's comfort and care of us. Whereas the wing that we rush to and hide under speaks of his protection for us. Both are necessary. How he comforts us in time of sorrow and trouble. And just like we protect the eye, he protects us and gives us comfort when we're in jeopardy. And So the eye, I think, fitly represents the weakest state of and condition of God's people. You know, the church is weak. She's weak. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Her strength is in Christ. It's not in herself. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knows that. The body of Christ knows that her... Oh, what do you say? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. We're in Christ. And that was one of the great assets of Paul, is to own his weakness unto God that he might find strength from Christ. And strength, our Lord Jesus Christ perfects through our weaknesses. The church is weak. We could do nothing. We could do absolutely nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope of the future is in Jesus Christ. If this world is ever changed in any way whatsoever, it'll be through the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will not do it ourselves. Oh yeah, we'll be instruments in the hand of God. It's the church. The church is here to be used in service to the Almighty God, to serve our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. We must ever be reminded that our hope of any progress or any success whatsoever is in Christ alone. Christ alone. So, think about this. Think about the eye in relationship to the creation of the body. You know, God has bestowed extraordinary, I think, care in His creation. It's amazing just to think about God, how God created these old bodies. Every part of them. I don't think we give it enough thought sometimes. But God, He did. He exercised, I think, extraordinary care when he created the body in concerns with the eye. Think about this. You know, God said to Jacob, or says of Jacob, back over in Deuteronomy 32:10, He says, and he's a type of the church. Jacob there is a type of the church, a picture of the church, of the collective body of Christ. And God says he found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He says he led him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. That's the church. He keeps us. He keeps us every day we live, through every circumstance that we encounter, every trial that we must endure. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps us, just like you protect that eye. You're concerned with that eye. Always, always defending the eye. He said also in Zechariah, another passage, chapter 2, verse 8, he said, "For thus said the Lord of hosts, after the glory has he sent me. After the glory has he sent me to the nations which spoil you. For he that touches you," now listen to this, he said, "for he that touches you," talking about the church, "touches the apple of mine eye." There's so much in here about this. The apple of mine eye. You know, a man knows something of himself, I think, when he, and that's what we have here in this text here, he says, keep me, Lord, as the apple of your eye. And so a man knows something of himself who sincerely offers this plaintive petition here, keep me. You pray that much? Keep me. You think you can keep yourself? Huh? Where are the folks out here think they can keep themselves? And I think probably many over the years, believers have lost sight of the absolute necessity of God keeping them, Christ keeping them, Christ protecting them, Christ preserving them. They thought they could do it themselves and fell into terrible trouble. Maybe that's what David was thinking about. Maybe he had lost consciousness of his absolute dependence upon the Almighty God when he walked out on that terrace that night and looked over the banister and saw that naked woman bathing. Well, it wasn't long where he had absolutely no control over himself. So this keeping is begging God and pleading with God to control us. You control us. You keep us. I'll fall into sin if you don't keep me. I'm a goner if God don't keep me. Oh, Brother E.W. Johnson, I heard him say this time and time again, Lord God, don't take your hand off of me. I'm a dangerous man. Don't remove your keeping power from me. I'm a dangerous man. Capable of anything in this world if God don't keep us. And so we pray, keep us, Lord. Keep us even as the apple of your eye. Protect us. Well, yeah, there's a couple of things here, and I'll develop that, and I'll be done. Number one, therefore, I believe this is a humble confession here. Keep me. Also, it reveals a knowledge of God, of what He is and what He will do. Our dependence upon Him. Don't ever lose your dependence upon Him. He's our keeping power. It's His hand that we do not want loosed from us. Hold us constantly in the palm of your hand. Keep us, Lord. We sing a song, you know. Hold us in the palm of your hand until the storm passes over. This life is nothing but a life that's constantly riven with storms. And we need God's absolute total protection to get through it. So it also reveals this knowledge that the psalmist had of God Himself and what He is and what He will do. The keeping desire. Desire is that which men guard the eye. It means, I believe, therefore, number one, keep me with many guards, many protections and protectors. You know, the eyes, as I said, is a marvelous thing to study in relationship to how God created this body. You know, the eyes inset, isn't it? Inside, it's inset. You got a bone structure over the top of your eye, around your eye, the cheekbone. The eyes back in here. And why God did that? It's not protruding out here. Where, no, it's viable to many dangers as it is. If God had put it out here on your face as your nose is, just think how unprotected it would be. But He's got it fenced in. He's got barricades around the eye, the eye bones, eyebrows, eyelashes. You know. You ever thought about how important it is to be able to bat your eye? To use these eyelashes? These eyelids? You ever think about that? You ever think about how quick response you give to something that's foreign, that may be coming towards your eyes? All of a sudden you just blink your eyes, or you take your hand and you swat it away. You don't see it until it's there. It's there. And all of a sudden, your reflex. God gave you that reflex to swat whatever it is away because you feel there's a danger there toward this eye. Well, that's God. That's how God teaches us about this business of our being kept, just like you would keep your eye. We need to be kept. God keeps us. And so David prays, Lord, keep me as the apple of your eye. He does. Sentries, keep guard lest it should be in peril. Whenever it's threatened, you know, rapidly, I say, with speed, so brisk it seems almost involuntary. The arm will lift up and fly up in the hand. Something's there. Keep it away. Keep it from endangering the eye. Somebody said this, all the members of the body may be regarded as a patrol for the wardship of the eye. All the members of the body. Therefore, let us pray daily. Let's do this daily, just as David does here, constantly and earnestly. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Protect me and keep me as the apple of your eye. That I bring no reproach. No reproach. I think I pray this every day. Oh, Lord God, keep me. I don't want to reproach the name of my blessed, holy Redeemer who shed his blood for my poor lost soul. Do you? I don't want to shame him. Not in any way whatsoever. And it's so easy to fall away in sin and bring shame to the name of Christ. Destroy you. A life of testimony. It don't take but a minute. There you go. Destroy a life of testimony. God doesn't preserve us. All right. Let's think about the covering of the wing. That's also important here, isn't it? He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You know, there's, I think, here a very distinct trilogy in this one verse. A distinct trilogy of thought. Three things. The covering of a wing, the flight to its protection, and the warrant for that flight. The reason, the warrant, the just warrant for it. To flee and fly to where the protection is. Let's think about that. Number one, he shall cover thee with his pinions. That's the literal reading of this. He shall cover thee with his pinions, his feathers. And that's the divine act. That's God doing that. He shall do it. And then he says, under his wings shalt thou trust. That's your responsibility. As the little chicks flee to the mother hen when danger comes near and scampers up under her wings, her body, so must you. So must you. And then he says another thing. In the cases of extreme peril, you have the promise. And the promises like this are not made to be hung on a refrigerator door. It's to be used. Make use of the promises of God. If we abide under the shadow of his wing, we're safe, we're secure, we're protected. God keeps us throughout our day. I believe that. So think about that. Then this truth here, his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. I believe that's the divine manifestation which makes the human condition possible. So the covering wing, the Lord is compared, I say, compares himself to that hen on that board back yonder, covering her brood. He speaks not only of the wing, which gives shelter, but the entire details, the body, and speaks of the feathers, which are warmth and comfort and repose. You know, I read a little story one time. I may have told this before. Back in the old days when the farmers were trying to settle the West, and in the plain country, the plains of Kansas and Missouri and through that part of the Midwest, had those huge farms, you know, that they finally cleared and was able to plant their wheat, their grain. Sometimes that grain would get to the point of harvest. A lightning storm would come through. God sent a storm through. Lightning would would set those fields on fire. And they would burn. You could put them out. There wasn't no way to put them out. Sometimes they'd start a backfire to try to meet the flames that were coming and burning, just burn it out. But they were losing everything. Everything was going to be completely burned up. Right? They lost the whole thing. Now, I read this story about an old farmer. It burned everything up, burnt all the way to the house. They finally got it controlled for it, got his house, but it got his barn, it got his lots, it got everything, his outbuildings. And he was out walking, still smoldering, smoke here and there. He was out walking the next day and walked up upon a charred black body. Just a charred body of an old mother hen. And with his boot, he just reached over and tipped it, that body over. And Ronnie, out from under that old mother hen comes scampering a brood of biddies, little chicks. She had sacrificed her life, but she saved her brood. That's our Lord, isn't it? Can't you see Jesus in this? These little illustrations, don't they mean something to you? He sacrificed his life, Rod, to save us. He did. He went to the fiery cross. Fiery judgment of Almighty God upon our sins. He took the brunt of it in order to deliver us. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, no wonder David said, "Blessed be the Lord," more times than once. Oh, my soul, let all that is within me bless His holy name and forget not all of His benefits. You know, in times of unexpected trials, He's there to protect us. What do you mean unexpected trial? Well, you know, Scripture said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 25, I believe it's what it's referred to. It said, be not afraid for sudden fear. In other words, you get bad news. News comes to you and it's devastating. And your heart fails. What to do? Well, we know what to do. We immediately flee to the Lord. He's got His wings up. He's ready to protect us. We find shelter underneath His wings. And so we flee to the Lord. Well, there's also expected trials. Let me give you this, expected trials. We're all going down the road to what we call old age. Oh, there's some of you kids in here. You got a ways to go, but it comes fast. It comes fast enough. And so we think about old age, and we say, what in the world am I going to do when I get old? And when I get old, and I just barely can make it now. I can barely make ends meet now. You know, it's a struggle now, but what am I going to do when I'm old and I can't operate like I used to. I can't use my hands. I don't have the strength and the energy to get things done. Yeah, what's going to happen then? Well, a lot of folks say, well, the government take care of me. Well, I don't know. They're running out too, ain't they? Running out too. I wouldn't depend on that. I really wouldn't. So that's expected trials, isn't it? You expect to get old. I'm already there. I'm there. I really am. And I know I am. Now, what am I going to do when I can't come up here and talk to you folks anymore? I'm getting out where I'm, you know, it's a struggle, getting weaker. I'm up here and preach for 30, 40 minutes and feel like I've done 2 days' work. Go home, wore out, give out, tired. And you did me that way. I used to have the strength. I could preach an hour and preach hard and go on about my business. But old age takes its toll on you. It does. And read the what old Solomon says in the Ecclesiastes, especially that 12th chapter. It doesn't get better. Not at all. Loads get heavier. Trials get harder. What am I going to do? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust in Him. I'll have the same Father when I get old. Now that I'm old, that I had when I was young. Doesn't change, does it? Time changes. I change, but my Father never changes. Always the same. Today, yesterday, and forevermore. Have the same providence, working out of that same providential control, that controlling hand of my Father. I have that in my old age as I had it in my young days. Get that promise. Yeah. You know, you thank God for your daily bread now, don't you? Well, there'll be bread then to thank Him for. I know that because I got the promise. For He will cover you with His feathers. Keep you. Keep you. And under His wings shall you trust. David said this. You referred to this morning. You study on the 37th Psalm. David said this. I've been young and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's a promise. That's a promise. Keep that in your heart. Don't stick it on your refrigerator. Try to use it just every now and then. Stick it in your heart and use it every day. But you live in this world. You need it. Well, there's the hour of death. It's coming down here, isn't it? The hour of death. It's coming. You're not going to be far off from me. Oh, no, not far off at all. The hour of death. The hour of death, what are we going to do? Well, here's what we'll do. Here it is again. Paul said this, I'm now ready. He was looking at it. He was looking straight in the eyes and the jaws of death. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is nigh. Time of my departure is nigh. He said, but I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm getting. I know what I'll receive. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. And not to me only, but to all them that look for His appearing. Yeah, just keep looking. Keep looking. He's going to appear. And He's going to bless and reward every precious child that stays faithful to His cause. And then you have the flight of the shelterless to the shelter. The flight. He says, flee there. Under His wings shalt thou flee to a refuge. And then you have a warrant for it. It's for this fleeing to Christ. Fleeing to Him. He says He shall cover you with His feathers. When you get there, you'll be taken care of. He'll cover you with His feathers. Under His wings shall you trust. And here it is. Here's the warrant for it. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. His truth shall prove out to be what it is. So we got nothing to worry about, have we? Got absolutely nothing to fret over. God help us. Lord bless you. May the Lord encourage you. This is my prayer. All right, let's sing a song. We've been singing a song on Wednesday night. Most of you, I think, well, the ones that's here with us, ain't